Now, tonight we have a terrific guest with us. He's an author of 4 mystery suspense novels who happens to have a very rather interesting and involved day job as well. With over 28 years in practice as a board-certified OBGYN, he has served as chief of staff for 2 hospitals and is currently the local director of the American Institute of Minimally Invasive Surgery in Jackson, Mississippi. His educational accolades began in high school, where he was a class valedictorian, and that carried on to the University of Mississippi, where he was vice president of the Associated Student Body, president of the Interfraternity Council, and member of Kappa Alpha Order. While at Ole Miss, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, the National Leadership Honor Society, Omicron Delta Kappa, and inducted into Mortar Board, a National College Honor Society. He graduated magna cum laude before attending School of Medicine at Ole Miss, and his experience in writing also began while at the university, where he served as editor-in-chief of the Ole Miss Yearbook, continuing into medical school with the same position for the 1982 Medic, a similar yearbook for that program. Carrying on today, he serves on the editorial board of 2 medical journals in Mississippi, and with all the honors and accolades in medicine, our guest also has to his credit 4 great books and an award for writing. His 2006 novel, Points of Origin, won an award for Southern Fiction from the Independent Publishers Awards of 2007. With us tonight is Dr. Darden H. North. Now, as you have heard, he has more than earned the right to be called doctor, but he's here with us tonight in his role as an accomplished author, one who has requested that he be addressed as Darden. So how are you tonight, Darden? Welcome to the show, sir.
I'm fine, Doug. It's nice to be here, and all that just exhausted me listening to reliving all those years. But I've been blessed to be able to be involved with a lot of things. People have been mighty good to me.
Quite a list of credentials, I have to say. Now, you were born, raised, educated, and you built your career in Mississippi. Now, there's a great bunch of writers that come from that part of the country. Any of them that stand out as your particular favorites?
Well, Greg Iles is a great guy. I've read all of his books. Everyone knows John Grisham. You can go back to William Faulkner and Eudora Welty. I didn't know them, personally, but we certainly have a very long and colorful and history of writers here in Mississippi. We just have a lot to tell. There's a lot of material here to talk about, for sure.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, with your education and what you do for a living, you've been around very intensive reading and writing basically most of your adult life. Was there any particular point where you decided to turn those skills you've acquired into writing mystery suspense novels?
I think, Doug, that anybody that's been in school for a long time sort of feels guilty once they get out of school about reading for pleasure. There's always that journal that you needed to read to pass some test or to get your recertification. So it took me a while to sort of get away from that feeling guilty before I could, enjoy reading for pastime. Of course, I was reading, children's books to my kids as they were very, very small. They're not small anymore, but that the fact they grew up gave me a little bit of time to start to write and to think about fiction and stories that I had built up inside of me that I wanted to share with other people.
Well, as you already said, Greg Iles, that's thrillers and suspense all over the place. So your preference falls into the category you chose to write.
There weren't many doctors that I was aware of that were writing fiction. As I've been doing this now for almost 10 years, I've met, quite a few. Of course, we all know about Robin Cook and Michael Crichton, who wrote the dinosaur stories. But I wanted to be a Mississippi physician who was writing contemporary novels about our state and about Southern life and fictionalizing some really twisted people and into making them very interesting characters.
I think most folks out there find doctors to be a rather self-confident breed to start with. Does that help you with the moxie it takes to put yourself out there as a writer?
I think so. A writer really, basically spills his or her guts out on the page and puts something in the printed word that's there forever that could be read by a couple of people hopefully been read by millions of people. The thought of my books not being successful, I guess, never really occurred to me. Although once I had the first book, House Call, come out and people really enjoyed it and said, when is the next book coming out? I was a little bit surprised. I didn't know how well it would do or if it would do well at all. So it was encouraging to have people, you know, want to know when is that second book coming out and then when is the third book and the fourth book and now the fifth book. Like you said, doctors need to be self-confident. I think any professional that's out there serving the public, certainly if you've got people's lives in your hands, you certainly want someone to be taking care of you self-confident. And I guess I did have a certain degree of self-confidence to write, and I believe I was raised that way.
It certainly has helped. I mean, the books are tremendous. I want to ask you, your wife Sally taught high school English, as did your mom, but now was your wife helpful? Did she work as your first-line editor or maybe as a proofreader?
Both my mother and my wife Sally have proofread my books. My wife Sally's busy with her own activities. She does real estate now, and she, of course, was raising our children and has some other things she'd like to do. But I do get her to proofread my novels. In fact, it's easy to find people to do that. They sort of come out of the woodwork when you have a book out. But I've even got some of my partners have been very, very helpful to me in reading or rereading, you know, early drafts. It's always good to get someone else's perspective about the storyline.
Once the word gets out that you know what you're doing, people are anxious to be the first ones to look at it, I'm sure.
Well, I'd like to think that.
Now, you mentioned your children are grown at this stage. Do they read Dad's work?
I know my son has read all the books. I believe he's read the last one. He's doing a plastic surgery residency in Lexington, Kentucky, so he's busy. And my daughter's in nursing school in Florida, so they both would like to spend their off times doing something else. But I do bounce ideas back and forth with them. And, you know, if I need to know a little bit of more of the current urban trends, I may call them and get some information from them. They've been really, really helpful. And I think they like the fact I'm doing this.
Family will be more upfront with you than just about anybody else, too. So you can kind of trust the feedback you get.
Well, you can, but you need to be careful because sometimes family will tell you what you want to hear. And you need to hear some objective things from some outside sources, too.
Well, I guess that can be. I have a very objective family. they tend to lay it on pretty thick.
In fact, when I had my mother read the first draft of House Call, she said, I think it's very, very, very good. She said, but I am your mother, so you need to ask someone else their opinion, too.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But fortunately, I got good opinions from other people as well.
Oh, good. Now, writers tend to write what they know about or at least what they have a pretty acute interest in. And you stay pretty close to home professionally in that your stories involve doctors and medical situations, but they're not exactly medical novels per se, are they?
They're not. People talk about medical thrillers, and when I hear that term, I think about more of a book that's centered around like a Jurassic Park with Michael Crichton, more about some, you know, science or something borderline science fiction or some virus or DNA strand that's out to kill the world. My books are not like that, which I like because I want them to be more about the situations involving really conflicted characters. I mentioned something about twisted characters, people that, you know, get themselves into trouble, you know, have to fight their way out, you know, whether they're doing it to themselves or someone else is coming after them. And of course, the characters are in medical settings because that's what I know and what I see all the time. But the story is not about the medicine. So I like to think that my books appeal to a little bit broader audience in that way.
Well, I'm sure that's kind of why I brought it up. I want the readers to understand they don't have to try to understand a whole bunch of medical jargon to be able to enjoy your stories, do they?
They don't. And in fact, some people that read some early drafts pointed that out to me. They said some of these this information really isn't interesting to the average person. And I thought, well, you know, you're right. And, you know, you don't really have to define a lot of the medical terms. You can refer to them. You don't need to put them in there unless they're really necessary for the story. And, you know, that makes it a little bit more fun to write, too.
And while they're all in that same genre or that same strain, they're each a unique story, each a unique mystery to them, so it's not just repeating itself.
That's true. I don't write, my books are not a series. Each one is a standalone novel. When Points of Origin, the one you mentioned that won the award for Southern Fiction, which I'm so happy to get and grateful for, I had a few of the characters repeat, but it was really a whole different storyline. When I found out people liked House Calls so much, I thought I do need to keep some of these characters alive in Points of Origin because people want to kind of know what's happened to them. And then I carried that forward into Fresh Frozen, the next book, which was an entirely different storyline, but kept this really great-looking young male OBGYN physician alive in that book. And then it was sort of a different thing for me with Wiggle Room, my current novel. I have really all new story, all new characters. It's a completely different storyline. But I tell people that because I don't want them to think that it is a series. They don't have to read them all in order. I'd like for them to read all four books and the fifth one. But you don't have to. You can start anywhere in the mix.
Okay. Now, do you have a particular target audience that you write for? Or?
You might think because I'm a gynecologist, I'm writing, you know, aiming toward women, but I have probably an equal mix of male and female readers. I really am trying to appeal to just anyone. I usually explain, I think, 11th grade up, anyone who enjoys fiction or enjoys an escape story, there are a lot of people that tell you they like to read only, you know, historical fiction or nonfiction, which is fine. I think we all probably should read a little bit of everything. But I'm really sort of aiming toward anyone that likes a good story. And like you said before, you don't have to know anything about medicine or science to enjoy them.
Now, there's murder involved, mysteries and things like that in each of your stories. What makes you want to write in that particular genre? I know you enjoy reading it, but that's not the answer I'm looking for. Is there something that drives you to just be overtly curious about these types of actions?
Well, you have to put a murder if it's a murder mystery. That is a qualifying thing that has to happen. And I had a reviewer of Fresh Frozen say I waited too long to have a body turn up. So in my current novel, Wiggle Room, I put some bodies up out pretty quickly. Don't know how, you know, certainly I've never murdered anybody and don't plan to, but it is sort of, you know, fascinating to do the research about what goes into that. I've talked to policemen, you know, as far as doing research, because we novelists have to do research even though we're writing fiction. We still have to research our books. Talked to, you know, policemen about crime scenes and the way a bullet would have hit someone's head and what would have happened. Talk to forensic pathologists how someone could be murdered and there would actually be no trace at all of any kind of, you know, poisonous substance, how to burn a house down, you know, without leaving a trace, or all kind of things you can find out if you ask. But, you know, I think that's what makes writing fascinating. Particularly if you're writing fiction, you're writing about things that you certainly would never do or hope you would know, not ever really know someone who does that, but you know these things go on in the world. And when we read books, we sort of put ourselves in the scene but know that we can back out of it. That's what makes, you know, reading and writing, I think, fascinating.
You kind of touched on my next question a little with that answer. I wanted to know, does the inspiration for any of these stories ever come from cases that you either heard about or maybe even been involved with?
Not really, because each book, and I'm sitting here thinking through the plots of all four books, they're not based on true medical cases. That's, you know, not what my books are about. You know, they're more life situations that just happen to involve medical characters. Of course, it's something that sparks the idea for every novelist, something that you may hear about or see that gives you the idea. For instance, in Wiggle Room, my current book, I was talking to a man whose son had come back from Iraq as an ear, nose, and throat surgeon, and he had done his deployment there. He was disturbed about the fact he had to treat the Iraqis, whom he looked upon as potential enemies. He was having to save their lives, as well as the Americans. So he brought back a lot of emotional turmoil with that, and that sort of spiked my interest because I, not knowing anything about the military, it made me learn about it, and I created a fictional situation that sort of brought that back home to Mississippi. So to answer that question, there aren't really any medical cases, but they're just, situations that I have, learned, been around or heard about that have sparked the basic plot of my books.
Okay. And you mentioned this character that came back almost sounding like PTSD, but...
Well, I guess, yes, that would be a variant of it, and I wish I had been able to talk to that person more, but I had to get my, research in another way. But the character in Wiggle Room definitely has a strong, one of the characters definitely has a strong dose of that.
Okay. Now, characters are equally, if not as important as the story itself. Do you build character to fit the storyline, or are these from personalities from people you've met or that you know now?
That's a really good question. My first book was basically character-driven. I had the characters first. I'd thought about writing it for years and years and years. I guess really worked on it for about 10 years before it came out. And I had to basically put the plot into the characters. The murder was certainly an easy thing to do. And at the time, I heard about a male physician who was being fired from his job because he was a male. And the female physicians, only wanting female physicians, sort of a reverse sexual discrimination issue. And I worked that into the book. So that basically gave me, a combination of plots there. And then as I've gone forward, the books have been more plot-driven, which has been fun to kind of come up with just, the most interesting characters I can come up with.
Okay. Now, developing a character, there's a lot of techniques out there to do that, but what we call fleshing out, making that character come alive on the page, are there any particular techniques that you use more than others, or how do you go about fleshing out a character?
There's sort of a fine line between making someone really conflicted, someone who's just involved in all kind of turmoil, and also making them real. So particularly if you're writing a thriller, which basically my books are, what I do is to try to make that person where the reader feels almost a sense of dread for that person. I mean, the reader needs to like that person, but realizes that person is just, going to get him or herself in just a whole lot of trouble. Or maybe already is, and the character doesn't know it. And that's what, for me, when I'm reading or listening to a thriller, that makes me want the next page to come around, is to see, how much more trouble can this person get in, and will they ever figure it out?
So things like that are more important than the physical description or maybe bad habits and stuff?
Well,
like
that's another good question, because I've just listened to a book on audio where the author did a wonderful job about physical description. I mean, if somebody walked into the room, you knew everything about them, but almost you forgot about the plot. You forgot about what that person was really supposed to be doing in the story. There was just too much physical description, just, bam, 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 down the line. So when I write my novels, and I'm not saying that's bad, but just for me, I wanted to really know what that character was supposed to be doing. And okay. So when I write, I try to make the reader be able to visualize what that character looks like in just the things, based on the way that the the person may use, you know, good or bad grammar, how they talk, you know, what the situation is. You know, if they're, you can decide whether someone's tall or short based on how they're viewed in comparison to someone else. You know, whether they have blue eyes, blonde hair, you know, wear a short skirt or whatever. I don't know if that's important. I'd like the reader to be able to visualize that person by the way I talk about them or use them in a scene.
Yeah, and some variation is good. Let the reader have their own way of seeing that character to some degree.
I think so.
Now, do your characters ever get so real that they actually hijack your intended storyline? If you don't understand what I mean, I'll explain it to you. But most of us have in our mind, if nowhere else, a kind of an outline. And sometimes a character will say or do something either through dialogue or just through an action that goes in a direction you hadn't thought of. And you have to make a decision as a writer whether you want to follow that character and see where that goes for a little while or whether you want to rein them in. Have you experienced that as a writer?
I have, and how easy that would be if your characters took over the story and wrote the thing for you, for yourself, how nice that would be. I have had situations where a character became more of a major character.
Mm-hmm.
Or, in fact, in the book that's out now, Wiggle Room, I really had a different ending, but I decided not to do it that way because I didn't want to lose that character. I didn't want to have that particular character go to prison. I wanted to keep that character out and around. So I guess I've seen that happen, you know, in my writing, you know, where things just aren't turning out like I expected, and where that idea that makes me send a character in a different direction comes from, you know, who knows. But, you know, it would be great if the characters would write the whole thing for themselves. It would be make it so much easier.
Sure. I guess so. Well, listen, folks out there, we are here. This is the Doug Dahlgren Show. We are on Artist First Worldwide Radio Network. We're talking tonight with Darden North. This is Dr. Darden H. North. He is an author. He writes medical suspense novels. He doesn't like to use the term thriller necessarily on his. But anyway, we're having a good discussion with him, and we're going to come back in just a couple of minutes and continue on with Darden North.
From Doug Dahlgren, an action series that grabs you and won't let go. Four members of Congress all die within months. Each death appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead Revolutionary War heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search uncovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun, Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren, in Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
The Ohio Weather Band, the self-named album from the new group taking the East Coast by storm. 12 new songs from this blues, Americana rock band you need to add to your music player right away. Visit their website at ohioweatherband.com or go to iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, or anywhere great music is sold. That is The Ohio Weather Band. Download it today.
Also known as the Reality Bender, author of the post-apocalyptic sci-fi horror thriller Juggernaut and the paranormal thriller Soul Snatcher, both available on Amazon and Goodreads. And you are listening to the Doug Dahlgren Show on the Artist First Radio Network.
You are listening to the Doug Dahlgren Show on the Artist First Radio Network. All past broadcasts can be listened to free and on demand. Visit the archive sections at artistfirst.com. Now, back to your host, Doug Dahlgren.
And we are back. I am Doug Dahlgren. We're here with Darden North, and we're talking about his four novels. we had a little break here, and he was able to correct me. He does like to use the term thriller. He just doesn't like calling them medical thrillers because that comes into the Michael Crichton type area. But his books do keep you suspensefully turning those pages, and I think I've seen them described as quick reads, page turners. And I like hearing that because I have that definition thrown at me sometimes.